We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence Holmes until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later on at 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I've got a lot of questions about the Bears, and few men have more answers that doesn't actually work at Halisol than the man joining me now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com, talking about Chicago Tribune football man Brad Biggs. Biggsy, thank you so much for joining us. And I know this offseason for you, it's kind of like trying to solve a puzzle without all the pieces. So when you look at what the Bears are trying to do in order, what's the most immediate area of emphasis right now since that offseason started?
Well, I think the initial step for Matt Nagy is to put his coaching staff for the 2021 season in place. And obviously the ball's already rolling in that regard. He is considering options right now for the defensive coordinator position to replace the retired Chuck Pagano. And then we need to see if there are going to be some other moving parts on his coaching staff. Does he hire a coordinator who feels like he needs to bring in one or two guys that he has experience with previously? Or does he promote a candidate from within and then need to make a hire to fill a spot there? Will there be a change or two on the offensive side of the ball with the coaching staff? Even following really good seasons, there's usually some amount of turnover on a coaching staff annually. So we've got to see exactly what all that entails for Matt. But the biggest order of business, of course, is finding someone to run a defense that started this past season playing very well, and then, as everyone knows, struggled a little bit throughout portions of the second half of the season. So find the guy that's going to come in and hopefully restore that defense to the top of the league or near the top of the league in performance.
Can you help us understand what change in terms of the style between what they were doing when Vic Fangio was there and the last couple of years under Pagano?
Really not a lot. Now, Chuck had his own terminology or language that he introduced, but the styles were really similar. The coverages were very similar. Vic didn't blitz a lot when he was with the Bears. Chuck didn't blitz a whole lot either. Chuck actually pressured a little bit more this past season than we saw Vic pressure. So schematically, I think if you're looking at it from an X's and O's standpoint, it was very similar. They just didn't play well in the second half of this past season. So what do they want to do moving forward? Would they prefer to keep everything the same, the terminology and all that, and again, go with an in-house guy? Do they want to mix it up and bring in a guy from the outside who maybe is going to use a similar 34 base package but have a new twist on things? Those are questions that only Matt can answer, and I think he's taking his time in this process to determine, okay, you know, in the big picture, what's best for this football team when we get out there week one? I think that's the question he's got to answer. What change do I want to make? What trickle-down effects are there going to be from this change? And what ultimately is going to be best for the team moving forward? Because there's going to be pressure to show, as George McCaskey and Ted Phillips talked about, progress during the season ahead.
Talking Bears with Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune here on The Score. All right, so based on your reporting, and you've mentioned some of the names in your recent articles, the names that Nagy is looking at from the outside, do you have a better idea of what he's thinking from who he's been interviewing?
Not necessarily what direction he's going to go, but James Betcher is a name that kind of popped up right away. Matt has formed some type of relationship with Betcher, who previously was the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Giants. Betcher out of football this past season, so he's a guy that's looking to get back in. He's a guy who's got a history of running a 34 front. He's a guy who I'm told, at least on some level, did a little bit of consulting for Matt or for the Bears this past season. Now, how in depth does that go? I don't know. Maybe the guy looks at one or two game films and has a 10 or 15 minute phone conversation with Matt. Hey, here's what I saw. Here were my thoughts, that type of thing. But there's a relationship there between those two guys. George Edwards, who's a senior defensive assistant for the Dallas Cowboys, previously was the coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, although we all know that in Minnesota, Mike Zimmer was the guy who was at the controls of that defense. George Edwards, a guy who the Bears interviewed for the head coaching position back in 2018. And then the other external candidate that's been identified is Indianapolis Colts defensive backs coach Jonathan Gannon, who's a younger guy, sort of an up-and-coming assistant in the league who could be in the mix potentially for a coordinator job elsewhere. He's a guy who has worked with new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith in Tennessee, has a relationship with him, perhaps a possibility Gannon would head to Atlanta. I believe he's also linked to Josh McDaniels on some level. So if Josh McDaniels were to potentially get the Eagles job, maybe Gannon would be a candidate to head to Philadelphia and run the defense there. So he's a guy that could have some options. And with the Bears sort of under a win or else mandate, with Nagy certainly entering the season ahead on the hot seat, that could make it challenging for the Bears to sell the job to an external candidate who might be looking for a situation that perhaps offered or appeared to offer a little bit more stability. But the Bears have strong talent on the defensive side of the ball. That's going to be a draw to any candidate who wants to take a coordinator job and show what he could do.
The two internal candidates that we keep hearing about are the safeties coach, Sean Desai, and the defensive line coach, Jay Rogers. Why? What is it about those guys?
Well, Rogers has been one of the most highly regarded position coaches at Hallis Hall for a number of years. He's done a really nice job with the defensive lineman, and you wonder, okay, what's the next step for this guy? Will he get an opportunity to become a coordinator? There's an opening here. Certainly, I think he'd have to be considered for the position. The question you have with any guy who's just been a line coach is, okay, how is he going to do sort of marrying all the parts together, blending in the coverages on the back end with what he wants to accomplish on the front end? And that's a big question. No matter how good a guy's been as a defensive line coach, how could he handle all of those things sort of moving together? It's a big step. It's a completely different job. So that's a question you have for Rodgers, who is coming out of contract and will certainly have interest, is surely already had interest from other teams in terms of, hey, would you want to come here and consider this position, be it as a D-line coach or potentially as a coordinator? I've been told perhaps a possibility Jay Rodgers could go to the Chargers and team up with Brandon Staley, who he worked with previously when Staley was the outside linebackers coach of the Bears. So if Jay Rodgers is not promoted by the Bears, maybe he looks to go elsewhere. Maybe he considers an opportunity elsewhere, even if the Bears do present a possible promotion for him. Sean Desai, a guy who was considered indispensable by Vic Fangio when Vic was the defensive coordinator of the Bears. Desai, the longest tenured assistant at Hollis Hall right now, originally hired during the Mark Trestman era, kind of cut his teeth as a quality control assistant and proved to be really valuable for Vic, so valuable that Vic tried to hire him to the Denver Broncos when he left the Bears after the 2018 season. The Bears blocked that move and kept Sean Desai in place. So he's worked on the back end. He would understand, you know, those coverages and what you want to do in certain situations with his experience being in that area. And then one other guy, a potential candidate, would be Ted Bonacchino, the outside linebackers coach, who was the coordinator for the Colts under Chuck Pagano for two seasons. The Colts didn't play great on defense at that time, but Bonacchino's at least a guy who has had experience in that role.
Our final few moments with Brad Biggs talking Bears. Brad covers them for the Chicago Tribune. All right, so we could go on for another hour and a half as I ask this question. Realistically, though, what are the Bears' option at quarterback?
Boy, that's a great question. There isn't a clear guy that you look at and you say, hey, they got to go get this guy. This is the guy they have to make happen. Deshaun Watson would be that guy if the Houston Texans are going to make him available in trade. But, Zach, we don't have any idea if it's going to reach the point of no return in Houston yet. At some point, the Texans are going to hire a head coach, and you figure the people running that organization are going to attempt to put together a plan in order to calm things down with their franchise quarterback and get him back in the mix. Nick Caserio, the general manager there, is a pretty bright guy with a long track record of success in New England. His first move isn't going to be to see what he can get for Deshaun Watson in trade. He's going to want to try and keep Deshaun Watson and keep Deshaun Watson happy. So if he's not available, I think what you're doing is you're doing a real study of all the veteran quarterbacks in the league that could potentially come available via trade. If they're cut, you're going to look at all the guys who are going to be unrestricted. You obviously know what Mitch Trubisky can do for you. And then you've got to have a real clear understanding of how these quarterbacks in this draft class shake out, where you think they're going to be available in the draft, and consider, okay, can we get a guy here with where we're picking? Is it feasible to potentially move up a little bit and get one of these guys? But boy, they've got to do extensive homework on a ton of these veterans elsewhere. Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers, perhaps cut him loose. Well, San Francisco's not going to do that unless the 49ers feel like they've replaced him with a better option. They don't. San Francisco doesn't have one on its roster right now. C.J. Beathard isn't that guy. Neither is Nick Mullins. Carr in Las Vegas. Would the Raiders make a move there? Again, they're not going to part ways with Derek Carr unless they feel like they've upgraded on him. So a ton of Stafford, same thing in Detroit. And I don't think the Lions would trade him to a division rival. Matt Ryan in Atlanta, does Arthur Smith want to keep him? So you've got to do homework on all these guys. You've got to have an understanding of who could be available, and you've got to be ready to strike. So that there's no clear-cut pecking order right now. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but boy, do they have to get that decision right.
We've been talking about that for a long, long time. Brad, always appreciate the information that you provide. Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a great day.
You too. Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune giving us the latest on the Bears. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears, talk some college sports. Northwestern has a new quarterback. We'll break it down next. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence Holmes until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And let's talk some college basketball and some college football now with Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times, who joins us on the Alphamonte Nissan Hotline, Alphamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. I've got a whole bunch of college basketball questions for you, but before we get to that, there's a new quarterback at Northwestern. Steve, what do you know about him?
Hey, Zach. Listen, Herb Lawrence asked me to come on. He said he wanted me to channel my inner poet laureate Amanda Gorman. So I'm going to give it. I mean, that's a big ask, but I'll give it. No, I Ryan Helinski, quarterback at Northwestern, mm-hmm. is a guy who was one of the top recruits in the country when he came out of high school. And this is how Northwestern can get a guy like that. And quarterback is so important to winning in college football, even if it's, you know, if it's Peyton Ramsey, it can take you from being dysfunctional offensively to being functional enough that you wind up winning your division in the Big Ten. If you take a big swing at Hunter Johnson, the Clemson transfer from a couple of years ago, it might not work out. If you take a second big swing at someone like Ryan Helinski, and maybe it kind of changes everything. And when he came out, I think he was ranked 3 or 4 among pocket passers. That's better than Northwestern typically gets by way of traditional recruiting straight out of high school. And he's experienced in the SEC. He started as a freshman. He's big. He's strong. And you like your chances with somebody like that to be better than what you've got, and not only that, but give you a leg up in an always winnable Big Ten West. So I think it's a big deal for the Wildcats.
And for those that have no idea what Steve's talking about, Amanda Gorman earlier today became the youngest inaugural poet in U.S. history, reciting her poem, The Hill We Climb, and she did such a fantastic job stealing the show at the inauguration earlier today. Back to Northwestern and college football. What will NU miss the most now that Peyton Ramsey is no longer the quarterback?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure they'll miss anything at quarterback that Ramsey gave them other than a measure of dependability. They might miss a lot more the linebacker play of the three seniors who were really just outstanding, led by Patty Fisher and Blake Gallagher. You know, some outstanding coverage in the secondary. The defense maybe is more of a matter of needing to replace, you know, what they had. But Ramsey was tough and he was credible. He wasn't, you know, an elite thrower or runner. He was someone who'd been beaten out in Indiana. by Michael Penix, who, you know, really is more of a dynamic dual threat type quarterback, probably better at throwing and at certainly at running than Ramsey. But Ramsey was a guy who played a lot of football and was unafraid of the moment. I think that what happened, and I don't like to single out, you know, college players for what they're unable to accomplish, but you know, they handed the keys to Hunter Johnson, and he was really not up to the moment. Certainly Peyton Ramsey was. He was not unblemished. I mean, he had a couple of bad games and multiple interception outings. But by and large, he was steady, and that's what Northwestern wanted, steady. That was almost enough. It was half enough to, you know, to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. It wasn't all the way there, but against everybody else, whether it was Wisconsin or, you know, or Iowa, it was enough. And I think what Pelinski gives them is more than that, potentially a lot more. More dynamism as a thrower, certainly, more throws that he can make, you know, to be able to use the whole field. And the Wildcats made some strides at receiver. It was much better looking unit of pass catchers in 2020 than it had been in 2019. So they can, you know, come back and win that division again. Certainly should be in the mix.
Talking some college football and basketball with Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You mentioned some of the losses that the Wildcats are going to have to deal with from a defensive standpoint, and the word is they're hiring the Raiders defensive backs coach Jim O'Neill, who has experience as a coordinator in the NFL. What can you tell from his hiring about what Pat Fitzgerald plans to do defensively?
Well, Zach, you know, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I cover the team every day and close enough to really have even talked to Fitz about that yet, but there's not a lot of change in what Fitz likes to do in what Northwestern has done through the years. You know, they try to rush the passer. They try to get rushing off the ends with really good defensive ends who can get there without blitzing and play, you know, positional type of football, you know, win one-on-one battles at linebacker, be sure tacklers. And in the secondary, they've been surprisingly good at putting cornerbacks into the NFL and a couple safeties here and there too. And a lot of kind of one-on-one coverage in doing it. So they've had big cornerbacks, big physical guys, and I'm sure they'll continue to try to do that, win individual battles. Northwestern likes to think it works, you know, harder than the next guy. And often I think it's true, and it's a reflection of the head coach. But they haven't always, you know, they have blips in that program's recent history under Fitz of seasons when, you know, they haven't gone to a bowl, when they have lost more than they've won. And those seasons probably they've been outmanned. But, you know, they've got a surprising amount of talent when you really look at it. I mean, they've got a comparable amount, I think, to, again, the rest of a winnable division. And so it's all about that assignment football, one-on-one battles, and being disciplined and, you know, coming out ready to play, ready to deliver an A-game performance week after week, which is really hard the younger your athletes are. You know, if you're at the college level, a lot of teams struggle over the course of a season to do that consistently, and Northwestern tends to do that better than most.
Steve, I know you've got a lot of thoughts on college basketball, so I want to hit both local teams with you when it comes to Northwestern's basketball team and Illinois' basketball team. Let's start with NU. Why haven't they been able to take that next step?
Well, you know, they won, of course, three Big Ten games early. It was really impressive looking. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it looked like legit. You know, it wasn't by mistake. And they've got some length. They've got guys who can score. Adige, you know, came out of nowhere and looked good. Kopp has been predictably pretty good. Boo-Boo, you know, has had his moments. But what I saw against Illinois in the second half of the game when the Illini outscored Northwestern 53-13 in Evanston was an overwhelming athletic difference. So, you know, I don't think Northwestern's quite there yet on a par with teams that get out of the Big Ten in decent enough shape to break that bubble, get into the tournament. Well, I guess I don't think Northwestern's just not quite there yet. There was such a difference between those two teams in that half I referenced that I don't know if Northwestern will really recover. And so it's a team that, you know, can try to get into the middle of the pack of the Big Ten, and maybe that's the, you know, the ceiling. I mean, they don't shoot it extremely well. If you've got it, Northwestern's interesting what Chris Collins has done. He's got some long, springy types of guys. You know, they kind of look good getting off the bus. But I guess I'm not sure they're as dynamic on an individual talent basis as, you know, as it looked early on. And Big Ten's really good this year. It is the best league out there. So it's going to be a struggle for Northwestern to build much on this. I think they're 3-5 in the league and have lost at least a few in a row, maybe 5 in a row. And so, you know, it's going to be hard enough to stop that, let alone to get on another hot streak. But it's better than it was last year, and a healthier situation than it was since the year the Wildcats made the tournament. The year after, when they brought their guys back, there was really something missing, and it happened from the start of the offseason on through preseason training camp, and a little talked about scrimmage against a Loyola team that wound up going to the Final Four that just blew the doors off Northwestern, and some scrimmages that, you know, didn't count and weren't televised, but maybe sowed some doubt inside that Northwestern program. They're recovering from that now, but still maybe a year away.
Our final few moments with Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times. What stands out to you about Illini basketball this year?
Well, I think it's the most talented team in the Big Ten, and that's pretty clear to me. The most athletic, the highest upside, but you know, not as certain that you're going to get that best effort in any one game out of Illinois that you can probably count on from, let's say, a much more veteran Iowa this season. But Illinois is absolutely terrific. I mean, it's maybe the best 1-2 in the Big Ten with Io Desunmu and Kofi Coburn. Certainly a one-of-a-kind player in Coburn. He can't do all the things Luca Garza at Iowa can do, but he's getting so good and so strong and sure-handed inside that he might be the surest post-up bucket in the league. And then you've got the best freshman tandem, for sure, in Andre Curbelo, in Adam Miller, and waves of guys coming at you who can really defend hard, who can run like crazy, fast break. Illinois can do things nobody else in that league can, both on defense with pressure and in the running game offensively, but it's just a matter of bringing it for the proverbial 40 minutes each game, which sounds easier than it is, because or else Brad Underwood's teams wouldn't have struggled with it as much as they have over the last few years. And so the last game against Penn State started fast. If they do that, they can win every game they play, home or away, the rest of the Big Ten season. But they've yet to prove that that's what they're made of. So that's what I want to see.
Appreciate the time. Good stuff. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, man. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you. Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times helping us get the latest on both Northwestern and Illinois when it comes to college sports. Let's take a break. Your phone calls next, 312-644-6767. All right, you know what the Bears didn't do. So we know who's in place in charge of making the decisions and, for the most part, what's coming back next season. How would you fix the Bears heading into the 2021 season? Your thoughts next. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock right here on The Score.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
could have been phrased a little bit differently, but we are where we are. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, taking you all the way until the Danny Parkin Show today featuring Matt Spiegel. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. So it's a real simple question, but I don't know if there's a simple answer. You know what the Bears have decided to stick with, so I don't want to get into that argument. Now, what would you like to see them do based on what they have right now to give them the best chance to succeed in 2021? Out to the phones we go. John is driving around in his truck. Hi, John. You're on the Score. Good afternoon.
Hi, Zach. How you doing? I think we need to spend draft choices on the offense. Good offensive lineman, a good wide receiver, or two, and then also get a quarterback later in the rounds. Historically, we've had the number one defense, or spent more money on our defensive side of the ball, going all the way back to Jay Cutler. We never did prioritize the line, the offensive line. We've always prioritized the defensive line, and the game's changed. We need to spend more money on the offensive side of the ball, make sure we have a good line. We have a good running back. We have a good tight end now, which I called for that last year. And we Kvet, I think, will do a good job. And Graham's done okay. But we need another offensive lineman at least. Hopefully we can get a right tackle. We'd love to get a left tackle, but hopefully we can at least get a good right tackle. And that's what I think.
Thanks for the call, John. Sounds like solid advice. If you can add another tackle during the offseason, I think that would help. You wonder if that guy is in the building right now or if you need to use the first round of the draft in order to get that guy. I think one of the biggest things that the Bears need to do is, after you figure out who the defensive coordinator is going to be and you sort out your coaching staff, I think the biggest thing is you have to decide what you realistically are from an offensive standpoint in terms of creating your identity based on who's on your roster. Not what you would like to be, but what you are, and be that better than you've been. That's why what we saw during the final month of the regular season, again, against some of the worst defenses in football, that four-game stretch against Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville, all four teams ranked near the bottom of the NFL in defense during the regular season. But that style is, I believe, the best possible style to run offensively with your talent in order to complement the defense. And it was so maddeningly frustrating that they weren't able to do that following the 5-1 start. I never thought that until the final month of the regular season, they didn't really try to complement, for whatever reason, what they were doing defensively. And I think by the time they did, the defense was going in a completely different direction. Joe is in St. Charles. Hi, Joe. You're on the Score. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it is a good one, too. It's nice to see the sun. Tyrod Taylor, get him for a song. Draft a road grader offensive lineman. I think that would make a heck of a lot of difference.
Yeah, I think if you improve your offensive line, and we saw improvement. Thank you so much for the call, Joe. 312-644-6767. If you see the offensive line continue to make the strides that we saw basically from the bye week on when they started to really put it together, and you've got a running back who rarely goes down on first contact. So use that running back to your strength. Make that running game your identity, because you're not going to end up acquiring an elite quarterback this offseason, not where they're picking in the draft, not via the availability in free agency. But if we learned anything last year, I think is a good example for the Bears to follow. When you saw Tennessee be able to make it all the way to the AFC Championship game and you saw San Francisco reach the Super Bowl, they did it by being a run-oriented offense. Play action was their friend, and they controlled the clock, allowed their defenses to rest and be more formidable, and they were able to dictate what they wanted to do against the opponent, even when the opponent knew what was coming. I think that's that's always been the recipe for success for Bears football, because the Bears have rarely had a quarterback that you trusted to be able to do the things, say, that you're going to see in the NFC Championship game this weekend between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, where these guys are like college professors in the way they're able to diagnose what's happening defensively, and there isn't anything you can do from a defensive standpoint that tricks them unless you hit them. And when you hit them, they become mortal. But very rarely do they get hit, because they're so good at being able to understand what you're trying to do that the ball comes out quick, the decision-making is terrific, but there are very few of those quarterbacks around. So what's the most realistic way for you to win until you're able to somehow get lucky and get one of those quarterbacks? And to me, the answer is complement your defense. The defense has to get better. First and foremost, they have to be more aggressive. They have to be more consistent. You'd like to think that Eddie Goldman, who opted out, having him back next season will make you significantly better against the run, because you earn the right to rush the passer. So if you do a better job against the run, you turn teams into more of a one-dimensional offensive unit, and it allows you to get the pass rush going. The more consistent a pass rush you have, I think the better your ability to take the ball away. And in order to make sure that you're at that level defensively, it would help if the offense was able to stay on the field a little bit longer. You know, something that we haven't really spent a lot of time discussing over the past 2 hours, could Mitchell Trubisky be back? I know that very few of you want to see him back, but that's not what I'm asking. Could Mitchell Trubisky give you the best chance to do what you need to do offensively next season, based on what's available? I'm not saying ignore the quarterback position in terms of the draft and free agency, but in terms of practice time, and who knows what the offseason is going to look like. They've already canceled the combine, meaning you might have a very different offseason again this year in the NFL. And if there's limited practice time and you don't really get together for the most part until training camp begins, like last season, maybe your best bet is to bring back Mitchell Trubisky on a team-friendly deal, because I doubt the outside world is willing to give him this fantastic deal, and have it be incentive-laden, and let's see if the offense improves if you run it a whole year the way you did during the final month of the regular season, with some additions at wide receiver, on the offensive line, an understanding of what makes Trubisky as good as he can possibly be. Just something I'm throwing out there. I don't know what the answer is, but that might be the best option for them this particular offseason. Let's take a break. When we come back, Transition with Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.